Let's take our Bibles for now and go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. I thought it fitting to give a message from Hebrews 13 in light of our upcoming missions conference about entertaining angels. Entertaining angels. Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says in verse number 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. All three of these verses are about emphasizing the needs of other people instead of ourselves. And certainly that's what the Christian life is about. And I'm looking at verse 2 specifically. Be not forgetful. Well, we do forget things a lot of times, don't we? We forget to pray. We forget to witness. We forget to express our thanks to people. We are prone to forget things that we know to be true. Here he tells us not to be forgetful to entertain strangers. You know, that's the only verse in the Bible that talks about entertainment. He says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. When you think about your entertainment and my entertainment, usually it just has something to do with the amusements that we have, or some hobby that we like. The entertainment industry in America, though probably not in the past year, has been one of the greatest money makers in the world, because people love to spend money on entertainment. And probably one of the things that hasn't lacked for success and money through all the lockdowns has been the entertainment industry, the movie industry online and all that. It's going great guns for the world. So when we think of entertainment, we're thinking of our own personal entertainment. But when God mentions the word entertain, he's not talking about your entertainment. He's talking about you entertaining someone else. Look at it. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So, according to the Bible, our entertainment should be entertaining others. In other words, we ought to be a pleasure to others. And Romans chapter 15, verse 2, 3 tells us that we ought to please our neighbor to his edification. In other words, we ought to get a greater blessing of entertaining someone else than ourselves being entertained. Of course, somebody that's wrapped up in their own self will not have that idea. But, you know, we've got a great opportunity with all these guests that are coming to entertain them. We don't want them to be bored. Now, when I think of entertainment, I don't think of boring stuff. I think of roller coasters and Six Flags, and that's what I think of entertainment. Something to keep your excitement, something to keep your attention. God tells you to entertain strangers. And that's not just meeting their needs. That's trying to give them a good time. That's trying to give them some excitement. Give them some joy. Give them some pleasure. And that's a very different thing for most people. Entertaining strangers. Entertaining someone else. Now, I'm not going to preach or teach on hospitality tonight. I've done that before. I'm not doing that tonight. But I'm going to talk about entertaining angels. Entertaining angels. He says, if you entertain strangers, you may just be entertaining an angel. Now, when we think of an angel is somebody that ministers to you. As a matter of fact, we're in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. God tells us what those angels of God are for. God's angels are ministers, the Bible says. You say, well, I've never seen one. Well, that doesn't mean he wasn't there. And that's why we're going to talk about that tonight. There's a lot of things that we can't see, but that doesn't mean they're not real. There's a lot of things that we don't understand because we don't have sight to see the importance of it. Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. So he equates these angels that he's made, these heavenly angels, to ministers. And he says in verse number 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Look at it. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So angels minister to the heirs of salvation. Now, we have a lot of instances of that in the Bible. Peter was ministered to by an angel. An angel had to wake him up out of jail. An angel led him out of the prison house and made the doors open and let him do that big jailbreak and that escape. An angel ministered to the Apostle Paul when he was in prison and just sat beside him and encouraged him. Angels ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on the earth, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Also, when he was in the days of temptation with the devil, the angels came and ministered to him. So when we think about angels, they are heavenly beings that minister to those that are the heirs of salvation. And of course, you say, well, that was the Old Testament or maybe the early New Testament, but not today. And I don't think that's true. I think probably angels have ministered to us in a variety of ways that we never knew about. Because they're real. Angels are real. But the thing about this verse that strikes me, he talks about us entertaining them. So the angels are made to minister to us. You follow me? They are made and their purpose is to meet our needs and help us through life. And yet sometimes God lets them come across our path and maybe we have no idea that it was an angel of God, but yet we can minister to them. It's just a reversal. It's sort of like what's going to happen with our missions conference. These people that have come to our conference are ministers of God. Now, they are not heavenly angels, but they are ministers of God, and we get the privilege and opportunity to be able to minister to the ministers. We get to help and encourage and bless and hopefully excite and be used in their lives. The people that have been called of God to give their lives for others, we get a chance to give something to them. That's a very unique experience. Can you imagine if God sent an angel from heaven by your way? What a privilege if you got a visitor from heaven. But you know, if you got one, you wouldn't know it. You know, in the Bible, usually, unless an angel appeared in there, and we'll see that tonight, of these angels unawares, they met angels, they had no idea that they were an angel. Because if an angel appeared in his glory, it'd just freak you out. It would just lay you low, the glory of the angel. So, can you imagine God sending a heavenly visitor to you, and you not being interested in entertaining them? Wouldn't that be awful? And then that angel has to report back to the Father and says, you know, I was down there, but they said they didn't have time for me. Am I in the Bible or am I making this up? It says, entertain strangers. That means you don't know who they are. And some people that entertain strangers have actually entertained angels, but they didn't know it. Now, what if we are our old disgruntled self when the angel came by? I wouldn't want to be that way, would you? Now, look, you know, the missionaries that we have coming to be with us, you know what? They're also messengers sent from heaven. They're not the created angels, but they're sent from God. And really, the wording of the word angel even has in its etymology a messenger, someone that's being sent out. And we get a privilege to be able to minister to heavenly messengers. That's what all these missionaries are. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to treat them like they came from heaven. Because you know what we usually do? We don't treat anybody like they came from heaven. Because we don't think anybody's come from heaven. They're all down here in the nasty now and now. And so immediately when we meet a stranger, probably the work. Look, I'm just being honest about me. You know, first thing I think, I grab my wallet and say, what do you want, man? You know? Because I'm just human nature. I've seen human nature too many times. We automatically default to this. Well, you know, what do you want out of me, you know? And God said, what if this is an angel? What if you treated a heavenly guest that way? Look at Revelation chapter 1. You know the word evangelist has the word angel in the word? Have you ever noticed that? Because what an evangelist is someone that's sent to bear the good news, the good tidings. An evangelist is one that's sent to bear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those angels, they are ministering spirits. They are messengers of God. And in a way, and this is why, now I don't believe this, but I'm just going to read it for you. Many people think these angels in the book of Revelation are pastors of churches. Now, I don't believe that, but I'm going to make a point with it. In Revelation chapter 1, and with your other hand, get Galatians chapter 4. Because I think this is, guys, I was meditating on this. I said, Lord, if we would do these missionaries, they would think that they were royalty if we treated them this way. In Revelation chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 20, he talks about the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now, some people have interpreted that to mean that these are the messengers of the churches or the pastors of the church. I don't believe that it means that because I believe it means what it says. I believe they're literal angels. And look at chapter 2, but I'll make a point with it in just a minute. In Revelation 2 verse 1, he said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. So the church of Ephesus had an angel. Look at verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. The church in Smyrna had an angel. Verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos. Right. And of course he's saying because he's writing this letter to an angel, then obviously they think it's the pastor. But look down at verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, chapter 3 verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, chapter 3 verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right. And verse 14. And you know, some of these churches are not even good churches, but they still had an angel. Isn't that something? I mean, look at the church of Laodicea in 3:14. Under the angel of the church of Laodicea. I mean, here's a church that God says they're neither cold nor hot, and he's going to spew them out of their mouth. But they still had an angel. And I think the lesson here is that these angels of the churches, and I really believe that just like we saw in Daniel, that God puts angels over countries. Angels are involved in all the affairs of humanity. They're in the affairs of God's working and will. And I believe this church has an angel. And I don't believe it's me. Now, if you want to treat me like an angel, that'd be great. But still, I think this church has an angel that watches. Isn't that great if that's true? That protects, that ministers, that helps in the background, that fights against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world that try to stand up against His church. You say, well, man, how in the world does that work because there's so many churches? Well, Hebrews tells us that there's an innumerable company. There's a whole lot more angels than there are churches. Even all these little bitty churches. There's plenty of angels to go around. You say, preacher, I just don't know about that. Well, you'll just have to reconcile that with the Bible. God put an angel over that church. Look, guys, I think sometimes we think that God has just stepped back and spun the earth and said, y'all just take care of yourself. And that's not the way it is. But what is it? What is it? A lot of times it's unawares to us. We are not aware of the protection of God. We are not aware of the help of God. We are not aware of the ministering that God's doing in the background that we can never see. Go to Galatians 4 now. Now, this is why I read all those texts in Revelation. Galatians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 14. Galatians 4:14, "And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected." Watch it. "But received me as an angel of God." Do you see that? "Even as Christ Jesus." He said the Galatians received him just like he was an angel that had been sent down from heaven. That they had received the Apostle Paul even as they would have received Christ Jesus. Now that even takes it up a whole nother notch, doesn't it? Above entertaining an angel. Now you're entertaining the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't Jesus talk about that in Matthew 25 about, "But you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." You know, a lot of times we don't even know the Lord's there as well. They're just like those disciples on the Emmaus Road, and they have wound up inviting the risen Christ into their house, but they didn't even know it was the Lord. Well, what if you're entertaining the Lord and you don't even know it? And the Bible here is saying that when Paul came to this church, that they treated him like an angel. They received him. By the way, that word entertain, that's entrance. Come on in. Come on into my house. Come on into my comfort place. A lot of times we don't like people coming in our house. We don't like them to enter in. We don't treat them like we would treat family. I'd say this. It would probably be better to treat an angel better than you'd treat your own family. You know why? Because your family's all sinners. But that angel of God. So maybe the people that we interact with, we need to think twice about that. And what I'm telling you, when these missionaries come in, we ought to treat them not only like an angel, we ought to treat them like Jesus Christ. Now you think about that. What would that mean? If you knew, come on now, if you knew that Jesus Christ was coming to this church a week from Saturday, what would you do? Would you show up? Would you listen to them? Would you give him a hearing? Would you be there to help him? Would you offer to meet his needs? If you knew that God would send an angel, I'm not talking figuratively. Guys, sometimes we read the Bible and we don't even believe it's a literal book. Look, there's just literal angels just as true as literal devils. It's literal. Let me ask you a question. If you knew that an angel of God was going to show up in our missions conference, would you sit down at the table and be nice to him on Saturday night? Would you want to rub shoulders with somebody that came from heaven? And God says, that the Apostle Paul, that's how you received me. And you never know, one of these days you might. So he says, entertain angels unawares. Take your Bible to Genesis 18. They give you about four different. While you turn to Genesis 18, I looked up that word unawares. You know, there's like four things or three things that God tells us not to be unaware of in the New Testament. One is not to be unaware that one sent from God, don't let them pass you by without you entertaining them. He says in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, don't let the Lord's return come upon you unawares. Now, the context of that is his coming to the earth, not his coming in the air. But I think the principle could be the same. Don't let the coming of the Lord take you unawares. You know, most people, when Jesus comes, it's going to be totally unawares to them. I mean, how many of us, guys, come on. If the rapture would have taken place at 2 o'clock this afternoon, were you looking forward to it too? Were you expecting it to be at 2 o'clock? No, we just go through our daily routine. So I would say the coming of the Lord for most people, I'm talking about the rapture, is going to take most Christians unawares. They're not going to be thinking about it when it happens. It's not going to be something on their mind. Though the New Testament tells us to be looking for that day and to be looking unto Jesus. And to be hasting unto that day. But most of us, it's going to be unawares. I mean, we're going to be involved. And how would you like to be sinning when the rapture took place? Oh, man. So God tells us, don't let that day take you unaware. He said, don't let an angel of God, don't let a heavenly visitor take you unaware. And then he said in Galatians 2:4 and Jude 4, he said, don't be fooled by false brethren unawares. In other words, some people can't discern between a true brother in Christ and a fake one that's, like Jude says, is trying to creep in. A lot of times people receive others that have false doctrine or false lifestyle that's going to hurt them. And they're unaware of the hurt that they're going to... And so God tells us, be careful. Now, let's look at these, because we'll hasten to hear Genesis 18. Four times, somebody entertained an angel and they didn't know it was an angel. And what we can learn from that and how we can apply that principle to the New Testament and to our heavenly visitors that are coming for our missions conference. He said in Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, here we find Abraham. So Abraham's going to be the first one that entertains angels. There's going to be three of them. It calls them three men, but we know by the end of this chapter and also by the next one that these are God's angels. In Genesis 18, 1, the Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. You know, as I read the Bible, I get under conviction as I read the Bible. Because if I saw three men, I would leave. If I don't know you, I'm probably not interested in even talking to you. A lot of times I'm not even interested in talking to people I do know. In other words, I'm in my own door. I'm in my own place. Is anybody a sinner like me? Here's three guys. You don't know who they are. They're sinners. Are you going to run to meet them and see what they want and what they need? Look at verse 1. In the heat of the day, it's the hottest part of the day. What a time to get visitors, right? That's another point about entertaining angels. It'll never be a convenient time to entertain anybody. We've got such busy lives, we don't have time for anybody. We've got things to do. We've got places to go. We've got people to see. We barely have time for our own family sometimes, or time for God. I tell you what, there's something wrong with our culture, and it's not just the wickedness out there. We just don't have time for God or family or others. This is not Abraham making time for his family. This is Abraham making time for strangers. But you know who they are? They're God's angels. And he runs to them. See verse 2? He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. We probably would have shut the tent door. It's like when we go visitation, you know, we knock on doors and stuff. People are inside, they don't come to the door. I mean, people that we even know won't come to the door. You know why? Nobody wants to be bothered. And here's the truth. We will never entertain any heavenly visitors if we can't be bothered. He didn't shut his tent door. He ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself toward the ground, verse 3. And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Won't you stay with me? Well, wait a minute, Abraham, you don't know who these people are. You mean you don't want to get rid of them as fast as you can get rid of them? Don't want to drink water? Here's your water. See you. No, he says, stay right here with me. What you going to do, Abraham? These are strangers. Verse 4, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. 5, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort you your hearts. After that, you shall pass on. For therefore, you come to your servant. He's going to serve these guys he doesn't even know. Are we willing to be servants to others? Are we willing to serve these missionaries? And the Bible says in verse number 5, and I will fetch a morsel of bread. I already read it. Verse 6, and Abraham hastened into the tent. So he runs now. He runs to his wife. Now, wait a minute. Don't interrupt your wife. She's got a program. She's got a schedule. Boy, it's getting quiet. It's getting so quiet. He runs into his wife, verse 6. Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly. You know what you don't tell your wife? You don't tell her to do something, do it quickly. You go in there and say, honey, can you please? Not Abraham. You know what? We got strangers. Okay. Honey, stop what you're doing. Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to the young man. And he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them and stood by it. What in the world? I am not going to kill a calf for people I don't even know. We're not talking about, okay, are you hungry? Okay, here's you some bologna sandwich and here's some water. God bless you. You need anything else? No, honey. Don't get that loaf bread now. Honey, I want you to make that homemade bread. You get in there and you knead that and get your hands in. Do that work. Make that good bread for these strangers. And while you're doing that, I'm going to go get one of our calves. Isn't that a lot of work for people you don't know? You know what I know? You wouldn't have done that, and I wouldn't have done that. But you know who those people were? They were from heaven. Whew. No wonder God had respect unto Abraham. He runs in there. He brings the butter out. I mean, everything. He's just bringing it all out. Now, guys, if he can do that for somebody that he didn't even know, why can't we do that for God's messengers that we do know are taking? You understand? Oh, preacher, I'm just too tired. I'm too busy. I tell you what, we ought to be out here on Saturday night and lining up to try to be a blessing to these messengers sent from heaven. And God's not even asking. You don't even have to do what Abraham did. You know the lesson from this is? We ought to entertain. He entertained angels despite the hardship. Despite the sacrifice. It is the heat of the day. It's the hottest part. Do you want to do all this work in the hottest part of the day? He made the sacrifice. Well, chapter 19 is the next entertaining angels. Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came 2 angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast. He don't know who they are. He didn't know they're angels. And did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but you know the rest of the story, don't you? These 2 angels have come to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're going to come to the house of Lot to break into his house if need be to get these men, because homosexuals are the most deviant people on the planet. And they're violent. And this is what's happening right here in the text. And God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, the New Testament says, and the Lord Jesus said, to make them an example of the judgment of God. Now, that's not being cruel and unkind. What's cruel and unkind is that they came in to rape 2 angels. You've got to be pretty bad to be willing to rape angels. Now, this is the point about this. Lot doesn't know they're angels. But he takes them into his house. Listen, he takes them into his house even if it was a danger to him. By taking these men into his house, it's dangerous for him. You understand? And the sadness of this story, he's even going to offer them his daughters, which is perverted. But what I'm trying to tell you is, These perverted Sodomites are going to try to destroy Lot and all of his house because he's being good to the messengers of God. I'm just saying, if he's willing to put his life and family on the line just to entertain strangers, how important would it be for me? What sacrifice should I make? Should I be willing to put myself in danger for the cause of Jesus Christ and for those that are bearing the message? Something to think about. Go to Judges chapter 6. Two more, and I'll be finished. In Judges 6, you find Gideon. He is met by an angel. He has no idea it's an angel. And he begins to entertain this angel totally unawares. The lessons we're learning is that those that entertain angels did it despite the hardship and the sacrifice, and did it even if it was dangerous. And now thirdly, they entertained angels even if they lacked faith. Now look, this is what I like about Gideon. It gives me hope. Because Gideon is pitiful, guys. He's hiding. He has no confidence. He has no faith. But he entertains an angel despite his lack of faith. Let's just read it real quick. Judges 6, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So he's threshing wheat in the winepress because he's scared to death somebody might see him threshing wheat. He's threshing it in the wrong place where he can hide. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That's the funniest thing in the world. Here's a guy that's hiding out because he's afraid he's going to get caught. And an angel of God meets him and says, boy, you got a lot of valor. He is so valorous that he's hiding. He's so courageous that he didn't want anybody to see what he's doing. That's just the grace and mercy of God, the way he looks at us. Verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us. See, he don't even think God's with him. He didn't even have faith to believe God's with him. If the Lord be with us. You ever doubted and thought, is God with me? Why then is all this befallen us? That's usually what we do. We look at our circumstances and say, well, God can't be with us or all this wouldn't be happening. That's Gideon, just a normal man. And where be all these his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of it? I mean, there's no faith. Gideon has no faith. But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us under the hands of the Midianites. Look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. What might? He has no faith. He's bellyaching. He's complaining. And the Lord says, go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. No faith at all. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if I have found now grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Look at verse 19. And Gideon went in made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah. Evidently, this kid knew how to cook. Well, my brain just went somewhere it shouldn't have. We live in a day where the girls can't cook. Here, the guys even knew how to cook. Unleavened cakes of an ephah flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot. I mean, he's organizing this meal. He's entertaining this angel and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. Oh, good night. You made all this meal and you bring it out to this guy that you don't know is an angel, and you bring this food out and he says, yeah, put it on the rock. I put it in the basket. I got all this meal ready. You want me to stick all the food on the rock? Yeah, and then pour the broth over all the top of it. Well, right there, we'd have had a problem. And you know what Gideon did? All right, I ain't fixing you more. Sure, okay, here we go. He poured the broth on top of the rock. Look what the Bible says. Verse 21, and then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, see, he didn't know. But when that happened, he knew. Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said to him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." He thought he was going to die because he saw an angel. He entertained an angel, but he didn't have any faith. You know what I tell you? There are a lot of things in the Christian life that take great faith. Some things in the Christian life don't. To entertain God's messengers, you don't even have to have much faith. Because this man didn't have any. But he went out and he made something for this angel and he took care of him. And he gave of himself. What I'm trying to tell you, you don't have to be some great hero Christian just to entertain angels, just to entertain God's people. You don't have to have great faith. It's something all of us can do. The last thing, Judges chapter 13. I'm quick. I got like 4 minutes. Judges 13, we run into the parents of Samson. Manoah is his dad. And I'm not going to read all this, but let me see. How much am I going to read? So in verse 3, the angel won't appear to the man. I don't know why. This is weird. This is the fourth thing I'd say. You need to entertain angels even when everything is strange about it, when it doesn't make sense. Because if you reach, go home and read Judges 13. This is what you're going to find. The angel comes and talks to Manoah's wife 2 times, but he doesn't talk to Manoah. You know, that's not really appropriate. An angel's coming down talking to your wife. Well, you know, come talk to me first. You're going to talk. And when Manoah meets, and here's what Manoah tells his wife. You go out there again, and that man is telling you that you're going to have a baby. Isn't that weird? Here's a guy that doesn't know her, and she's barren. She can't have a child. She doesn't know he's an angel. And he comes up to her and says, "You're barren. But you're going to have a child. And this is the way it's going to be." Is that not weird? And she goes back and tells her husband, "I met this weird guy. He told me we're having a baby." You know what Manoah says? "Well, if you see him again, you tell him you need to come get me because I need to come talk to him." Right? That's what I would do. So sure enough, she goes out there. There he is again. And she says, "You need to wait here. My husband wants to talk to you." This is a new version, but it's okay because we're not reading it. And so he says, "All right, I'll wait." So she runs, gets her husband. He comes out. He said, "What did you say to my woman?" So I said, "What did you say to the woman? Tell me what you said again." He said, "Well, she's going to have a baby and she can't drink grape juice or any alcohol. And this is the way she's got to be all the way up to..." Really? His name's, and this is what Manoah says, "Honey, let's go feed this guy." Now listen, man, that's just spooky. You know, a lot of times we can't minister to other people unless it makes sense to us. And there's nothing about this that makes sense. It's all weird as it can be. And Manoah's smart. He says, "What's your name, man?" And the guy says, "I can't tell you. It's a secret." If I ask a guy's name, he's been talking to my wife, and he won't tell me his name, we got a problem. Is that not weird? "What's your name?" That's not a hard question. "Why are you asking me my name?" "Well, you've been talking to my wife. I'd like to know your name." "Oh, it's a secret." Yeah, his name was a secret, but that's another message, another story. And so Manoah, in spite of all this strangeness, he says, "Honey, let's go put on the dog, feed this guy, entertain him." And sure enough, they bring the food all out. And it's sort of like the story with Gideon. The fire comes up, the angel leaps on it and sends up into heaven. They all freak out and said, "Oh, we've seen an angel of God. We're going to die." They had no idea it was an angel. I'm finished. When we entertain angels, when we entertain God's people, when we entertain God's messengers, when we entertain strangers, can we do it despite the hardship? Will we do it
in spite of danger? Will we do it even though we have little faith? And can we do it even if it's a little weird? I don't know these guys that are coming. Somebody that's coming this week maybe be, they might, I don't know. We didn't check them out fully. One of them might be really weird. But you know what? God's used a lot of really weird people. I mean, to do things that the normal people can't do. Right. So here's the question. Are we going to look back? Entertain angels. We're going to have a privilege to receive them as the angels of God. Let's do a good job.